Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies that endureth forever. The Bible says that your compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for bringing us together again as a church family. Thank you for what you have in store for us. I pray you will speak to our hearts. You affect our lives and not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. It's a good morning, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. We last week I requested for some support to help us fix up a property we have gotten access to in Canal Number 2 to use as a church, as a branch. And I think you did very well, because the response during the first service was far better than the second service. So I think you clap for yourselves. The first service is the best service. Yeah, and the people are more rich in the first service than the second service. You receive the riches in Jesus' name. Yeah, second service is full of little children. When I said 10,000 people looking at me like I talking gibberish or something. You know, but first service was good. I'm sure you have it, because I heard that people were lining up at Republic Bank ATM. Anytime you see that, you realize that there's joy in the system. All right. So I'm hoping that. Hey, so Jamal, it's good to see you. I'm hoping that, you know, you double up today and help us. We have to redo the roof. It's about 200,000 at least. And we are trying to do it ourselves, because we can't pay all these skilled, hungry contractors. So I am the contractor. I have my foreman is the guy. We are doing it ourselves. You know, when we get to the technical part, we'll try and get some technical advice. But so far, so good. Some of the blocks they are not straight, but we'll correct it when we're doing the plastering. In the name of Jesus. What do you think? Right. So if you have a brother, a sister, a cousin, a nephew, an uncle who knows how to do these, you know, things, please tell him to donate about 6 hours of his time to the building of the church. This afternoon after church, we're going over the river to do some work. You know, so we want to encourage the guys, the ladies. Lady, you can sweep. You can pick up some. You can chop some bush. So after church, we need some cutlasses, some hoes, some sledgehammers, some crowbars, and some food, some water, some juice. We're trying to do it without Scotiabank loan. Yeah, so when I go to Scotiabank, I don't talk to them. I say, give me the money you have for me. That's what I want. Not the money I have for you. We want peace. Hallelujah. We need money, but I believe that wisdom is a principal thing. The Bible says, through wisdom, a house is built. You know, so even though we don't have all that money, millions to give to a contractor and let him. It's also something very temporal. I mean, temporal. Long term, we're building a very big structure. on that 5.5 acres there. So we want something for now to start. Willing some Jandi Flags people in the area. They need Jesus. I said, I want to plant a church there. And I think that, you know, I'm so excited about what God is doing with us. I was in Sophia for a 3-day convention, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And we need a land in Sophia also. All right, so if you have family, friends who want to give us a land free, we don't have money. You see, if we go to Scotiabank, we can have money. But we don't want to go there, so we don't have money. Even though they'll tell us they are the one for us, Republic Bank, the blue, we are not going there. But I believe that God will give us lands to build churches. Hallelujah. When you look into the Bible, in all the cases where the church was built, the people gave what they had. It's these days that donation, 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 contractor, contractor, contractor. God anoints people in the church. I mean, like yesterday, we went to do some weeding. Myself and Calvin and Pastor Isan, unskilled people, lay people. We went there, we were trying to do our best. Then later in the afternoon, Brother Job, Brother Brian, where's Brian? He's coming later. Brother Brian and Brother Dwight came. Hey! When they came, it's like some horses have come to the place. The work went faster. We say, hey, I told Brother Calvin, I said, Charlie, I think we should concentrate on preaching. You know, when you have people like that, it's a blessing. When they came, we did something, Calvin. We did something, the smoke and all of that. And when they came, the easy part, they came to finish the easy part. They came to just chop the leftovers and all of that. But it's good to have people who are able. God anoints. That's why a mega church is God's plan. Because in a mega church, you will have all kinds of people. And therefore, if the church has to do something, you have people to do it. If the church has to do music, you have people to do it. If the church has to do orphanage, you have people who have a heart for children who are not their own to do it. If you want to do hospital, you have people who do it. If you want to build a church, you have people who you know, skilled in wood and in cement and sand, and they can do it. That's how God built. God builds a church that is self-sufficient. So we don't depend on the world for the development of the church, because the world is not interested in what God wants to do with his church. So that's why we should bring people. We should invite people. In fact, invitation, it should be something we do all the time. Because you don't know who you are inviting. I say you don't know who you are inviting. You'll be surprised that you're inviting somebody who God is bringing into his kingdom to write his CV before he goes to hell. So I was in Sophia, and we need a land. We need a double lot. I will ask for a double lot. If you don't get a double, we'll get a single, we'll buy it. People are saying there's no legal lands in Sophia. We can't squat also, isn't it? The church can't squat. So we need people who have transport, who have lands. Now, the first night at the convention in Sophia, we were 56. Sister Karen and Sister Rhonda alone there doing Sophia. The second Thursday, I didn't ask for the count. But the Friday night, we were 96. Yeah, Karen, Sister Karen, somewhere else. So you see that there's something in Sophia. So we need to spend some time there. I'm going to dedicate myself to going there a bit more. You get, because something is there. When you see things like that, you have to. If you buy some product and you begin to sell and it begins to run fast, you should bring in some more. Yeah. Before people catch that this thing gives money and spoil the business. You know, so 96 people on the Friday night, I think was very, very good. And I think we need more help there. You know, so I'm going to send some of you there to go and help. You see, but we also need a bigger place. Well, the 96, the place was packed. And the place is somebody's place that we're using. We need our own place in Sophia. What do you think about that? Yeah. So, we are looking for lands. Some of you have lands. You want God's church, you want God's house, or you want your house. Which one is higher? It depends on what you think. I think that the church is higher. You get it? So, if you have a land, you know somebody who has a land, who's giving. Even if he is transported land, then we have to pay some 20,000. Fine, we'll pay. You want it free. But if we have to pay 20,000, I'm sure first service, you give me 20,000 today if you have to buy. It's the best service, I tell you. So let's look around and help us find a place. Anywhere also, for that matter, not only in Sofia, anywhere in Guyana where you have land that you can give to the church, please bring the transport. Bring the title. Let's go and see a lawyer. And let's take your name off. And let's put Lighthouse Chapel International on the thing. We're going to build a church somewhere soon. A church is going to go to your village. Are you not excited about that? Yeah, you must trust God. We are starting a second church also in London, in Christiansburg. Yeah. We are moving on. We are building churches. We are planting churches and all of that. So be part of it. If you can't do anything, at least you can chop some grass. Yeah. So make yourself available. Make sure that, you know, you're doing what God expects you to do. We are talking about, this is one of the reasons why it's important to hear about disloyalty. Do you get it? This is why it is important to hear about rebellion, to hear about betrayal, to hear about not being dependable, not being trustworthy. Because as long as God is... Faith, I met you yesterday. Today, you're coming, huh? You ready? Gas and everything ready? Machine walking? Machine walking. Wonderful. You see, so as we are advancing, as we are developing, as we are doing things, it is in this same movement and development that if the people are not enlightened, if the members are not educated, then you see people beginning to manifest. People beginning to show signs of division, disconnection, betrayals, talking, lying, gossiping, and slander, and all kinds of things, so that the progress will be affected. Don't you like the sound this morning? I think the sound is better this morning, isn't it? And we need anointed people for the sound. Lift it. I tell you, you take it for granted, but if you see all those buttons on that board, it's not just turning them. You got to know what to turn and what not to turn. Before you turn something and then you say, oh, the mixer is spoiled. That's what they were telling me. Not knowing that you rather are the one who don't know how to press buttons. May the Lord anoint the sound control people in Jesus' name. Yeah. So I'm saying that it is in this development, like when I say, oh, you need land, give us land. Then you sit down and say, why should I give my land? But sometimes the land, you got it so that the church will get it. Yeah. You see, you should you divine connection. You should, you see, someone like Brother Calvin, he was just walking around Isla Penitence. I tell you, he got a girlfriend by the back dam there. Yeah. But Brother Calvin is a very important, valuable person to us in the church. Amen. One of the important people in the church. Yeah. You'd be surprised about his contribution. I mean, sometimes the things we have in the church, his mother's things, he just goes, he takes it and he brings it. If you need extra chairs, he just drives to his mother. His mother has some chairs I think she rents. And I don't know what she tells the mother. Oh, realize that we have extra plastic chairs in the church. She doesn't ask me, oh, my mother says you should pay. Nothing. I enjoy it. You have a canter. When we are going to do anything, oh, he's a Brother Calvin. We need a canter. Oh, he said, no problem. Then he brings a canter. Whether it's garbage, whether it's wood, whether it's cement, whatever it is. A chicken. I mean, yeah, what we did, but the chicken is on the counter for about 2-3 days. And you wonder whether the counter works or not. It's such a blessing. Isn't it such a blessing? But I've never heard Brother Calvin say anything negative about me or about the church. That is what you want. That is what you need, because the moment you have those negative things cropping in, you are sure to lose valuable people. And the enemy wants us to lose valuable people so that we will not be able to move forward. Yesterday we were there, we were doing some work, and then there was some wood ant nest. It was high up the tree. And it was like, who should climb? Who should climb? Who shouldn't climb? Who shouldn't climb? Then from nowhere, Brother Brian comes, he climbs the tree. He takes a small cutlass and he chops the nest down. And wood ants all over his body. He studied her. I mean, Calvin couldn't climb the tree, you know. He found that his stomach is too big to climb the tree. Then we said, oh, we have wood ants poison. But we forgot to bring this. We have a spray can. We forgot to bring it. Then Sister Judy, you know the Amerindian lady in the church? Then she takes some. So this Coca-Cola bottle, we finished drinking. Then she punches some hole in the what do you call it? The cork. And then she misses the poison in the bottle. And then we use it as spray. Then we just, it turns into an automatic spray. Within a short time, she had made about 3 for us to spray the wood ants. Man. Now, somebody like this, if you start saying bad things and the person is not enlightened and they believe it, we are losing somebody who can make something out of nothing. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah, people, so, and even including you, who also in your own way contributes immensely to the church. I mean, people who pay tithe, the tithe they pay, it's your 2 month salary. Yeah. If somebody like that doesn't understand God's work, and the enemy brings in disloyalty and rebellion, and then they leave the church, a whole amount of income is gone. That is how come the churches around are not rich, because the people who will come and help the church, they can't stay in the church because of all the things that go on in the church. So I am preaching about what we call disloyalty, but not the full-blown disloyalty, the subtle ones. The one that is quiet, the one that is difficult to actually identify. Because in all our growing up in the church and all of that, there are things we do. But sometimes we may not understand the ones that are dangerous and the ones that are not so dangerous. But in all, what I want you to understand is that the devil wants us not to be together. He doesn't want us to bring our qualities, our giftings, our talents, and our time and our everything together to enhance the building of the church. That is one thing he doesn't like. He does not like that. If you will leave, he will be very, very happy. If you will be offended in the church, he will be very, very excited. If you will be angry with the pastor, he will rejoice. He will throw a party for you. In fact, Satan can present a picture to you that outside is better than inside. That is why we here must show a lot of love and tolerance. You see, somebody was asking me about a particular sister in the church. And then I was talking to the person. I was saying that, you know, when the person was talking about the sister's case and all of that, I felt bad for the sister. Because I said, this particular individual, as she has been in the church, there are problems. Hey! Now, you don't have an idea. See, when you see us Sunday morning, some of the people in the church, problems. Oh, Mr. Jordan, problem. You not even want to live in the same house with somebody's people like that. But you see, because of the love of God, we love them. We cover their errors. We cover their mistakes. So that can be, because, you see, the person may not be good in this area, but they may be good in another area. So when I see something, something that is not good in a certain area, that doesn't mean that the person is garbage and is rubbish and needs to be thrown away. No. And this sister was somebody like that. Then all of a sudden she said she doesn't want to come to the church anymore. Now she goes somewhere and then now she's in trouble. So then I'm asking myself, Your problems are too much. You should have even appreciated and loved us when, with all your problems, we're still working and we're still doing things with you. Are you not grateful? Yeah. So let us understand, when I'm preaching about disloyalty and we have books on loyalty and disloyalty, the only reason is because the devil will succeed to spoil the churches if we bring our feelings and our things, and I don't like this and I don't want this. If you don't understand anything, please ask. Because if you don't ask and you show a certain sign, then you will be marked as a very dangerous person. So we are saying that subtle disloyalty comes from, number one, disobedience. When we say we are doing this and then you don't do. I have a platform with my church workers where we exchange a lot of information. Now, when I ask them Saturday morning that we are going to the place to work Saturday morning at 6, you can count the number of people who responded to me. Even the fact that you don't respond, it's a very disrespectful behavior. But you see, these things are very subtle. These things are very, very quiet. That people who, they don't respond and they think it's okay. But you call me your pastor. You call me your pastor. You, some people even say, Father, I preach to you, I pray for you, and I ask something, I request for something. That is not even personal. And you don't even say anything about it. What kind of trait is that? These things are subtle. They are very, very difficult to detect because you cannot say, oh, and maybe the person didn't have credit, or maybe all of that, it is rooted in something. It is not something you take easy for granted at all. If you take those things for granted, one day somebody will put something in your eyes, you see. The second sign of this subtle disloyalty is scorning. Or scorners, people who mock you, people who don't believe in you, and they say bad things about you. They say, oh, you could do that? You think you could do that? And that's what the enemy wants to ask us. You think you can build a church? You think you'll get a free land? One day when I made an altar call for people to go to Bible school, and I got about 50 people, then one of our church members from St. Lucia was here at that time. Then I heard she asked somebody, hey, so does Rev think that all these 50 people go to Bible school? I said, who is she? Who you should have told me before. So what? Out of every seed you sow, it's not every one of the seed that becomes fruitful. So if I get 50 something people to respond, I am sure I'm going to get about 20 people to go. And by the grace of God, I got about 20 people to go. Yeah. You need to sow more to be able to reap a very reasonable harvest. That's why you need to give more offerings, 2 offerings, 3 offerings, sowing, tithe, because it is very interesting that the little you give may not bring forth anything. So if the devil is trying to ask us, do you think you can build a church? At least you can build a bottom flat. And we can start there, because there are many churches that have bottom flats around here. Once you have bottom flat that can sit 100, we can build a small. Before you realize, then there's income generating from that church, or God will bring some people who we may even have a contractor in the church who says, oh, Pastor, you get the materials, we'll build a church for you. You may never know. That's why we call it wisdom, because if you are thinking of a very finished product, it's very difficult to have finished products from nothing. If you're going to build a cathedral, which is going to come at a point, you need some skilled people. Otherwise, even the labor cost alone can build another small church somewhere. So you need to have a church where some people are skilled enough to be able to supervise and make sure that this church is built without a lot of cost. So it's wisdom. And it's by God's leading that these things come about. Do you get it? So when people say, oh, can you do this? Oh, look at this. Look at that. You're trying to mock. You're a very wicked person when you mock people. Oh, you're a wicked person when you mock people. Because at least the person is trying something. You are sitting down by the sidelines. You are not trying anything. And when people are trying something, you are mocking them. You are asking questions that are very, very, you know, provocative. You can look
Look at the Durban Park project. The wood thing they are doing there. And you can say all that you want to say. Why didn't they use steel? Why didn't they use that? But the place was bushy. There was bush alone. There was a long snake there. So at least if somebody has cleared the place, and now we have one of the tallest flag of in the country or in the peninsula or whatever. At least it's some achievement. You too, when you come, you take things and you move them forward. Instead of sitting down on the sidelines and mocking people. And that is what politics is about. If you follow politics, you will not be appreciative and grateful for anything. I tell you, but it's not easy to rule a country. A country of, it's not easy to rule a country. Especially the country that we're in. Where people are expecting much. People are expecting more. If you don't take care, you will not take time to be grateful. I know there are things that are not working. We know there are things in the church that are not working. The children's service, they are always telling me when it rains, they have to move. When it rains, they have to move. Don't you think I see when it rains that they move? I also see it. You think at least if I don't see anything, I see it. But you see, in God's time, He makes things beautiful. Yeah. Let's take our time. Mary, it's going to get better. Yeah, the other day they said, all the plastic chairs are finished. It's left with 31. I said, what happened? We had about 80 plastic chairs. Who has stolen the plastic chairs? Nobody answers. So we bought them some 20 extra. And now we say, well, don't worry, we'll buy some extra for you. Everything has time. There are churches who don't have microphones. Churches who don't have speakers. Hey, we can't do everything one time. Don't say, but you say you are building a church, but that church doesn't even have a microphone. Hey, but you have not even started a church before. So when people mock, when people make fun of you, there are people who don't have experience. And it means these people are evil people. Because if you will sit down, and you really care about the church, you care about whatever is going on, you will analyze things properly and give people credit rather than mock them and say bad things about them. This morning, the next trait, or the next thing that I want to look at, that is a subtle sign of disloyalty, a subtle sign of somebody who the enemy would like to use to destroy the force, the unity, the strength of the church. It's inflexibility. 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 You are not flexible. How come you are not flexible? How come you say you love God? Lord, I give you my heart. But you are not flexible. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong. Are you sure? To you. You're the reason that I live. Hey, are you sure? But you are not flexible. You're not flexible. You're not. There's always something that you have to say in response to a request or to an instruction. You always have something doing that is more important than what the church is asking you to do. Inflexibility is a sign of this, it's a manifestation of disloyalty. An inflexible person is a stubborn and defiant person. Somebody who is stubborn and defiant is somebody who is disloyal. So when you look at somebody who's not flexible, you are looking at somebody who is stubborn. What is stubborn? Stubbornness is, I will do it. I will either do it by doing it my own way or my own time, or I will not do it at all. Stubborn people are people who say, hey, come. You hear me? I said, come. And then, in their own time. Now, when you have a stubborn person working with you, you don't get anything from them. They don't do overtime. 8 to 5. When is 5 o'clock? 4:45. Yeah.
They are packing up, clearing the desk, getting things ready. When the clock hits 5 o'clock, it's I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. And in the secular world, you see that more with people who are not happy at their job. Yeah. Oh, if you're not happy at your job, you're watching the time. You say, but I have 1 hour break. They take the thing 12 to 1. 5 o'clock, you're out. Monday to Friday. If you dare ask them, oh, we need some help this Saturday. He said, No. No, I can't make it. Hey, he will not make it all the time. That's somebody who is stubborn. They are defiant. They defy. They say no. So watch yourself if you are inflexible. Because if all of us say we were sinful, Jesus has come, he has died for us, and therefore because of that, we know we are so grateful that we are saved. Now you've joined the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is now leading you. Jesus is now directing you. Where is this inflexibility coming from? You're a wife. Cook. You don't want to cook. You say it's late. But you came here. One of the things why you came here is to make sure that I eat. So what is this thing that... You don't say lift your leg. You say, you enable lift your leg. What kind of inflexibility is that? You must be flexible all over the place. You say, Pastor, where should we go? What can I do? What do you... That is a type of person. Like I'm saying, Brother Calvin, one of his famous words is, no problem. You ask him something, Randy, he'll say, no problem. One day I heard somebody had arranged with him to take their bags and their things from here to Babies. When I heard it, I said, I know he will say no problem, but I have a problem with this one here. I said, this one, I have a problem with it. He doesn't have a problem. I have a problem with it. I said, you are not, but Calvin is not taking nothing to no Babies. Take the thing on your head and walk to Babies if you have to. But Calvin ain't going nowhere. But I know, if you ask Brother Calvin, please don't go and ask him anything after church, right? Because one of the things he will tell you is that, no problem. No problem. No problem. Very, very flexible. But people like that too, their wives are very important. Though. If you get a wife, even when he wants to do it, say, man, I mean, it's like somebody has kept you in jail. You have the thing, you have to do something, but somebody has imprisoned you. That is why it's so important for a pastor to know who he's marrying. Because once you say you are a pastor, it means that you have to be released and have the time and the vacuum and the space and the whatever to be able to do what God wants you to do anytime. Doctor, Candia works in the medical field. The doctor swear as a Socratic oath. A doctor cannot be called midnight and say that, today is family time. I'm praying. When I finish praying, when a doctor is called, you just have to just grab. Excuse me to say, even if you are caressing your wife, you have to say, sweetie, please, let's pause. We are not stopping it. We are pausing it. I'm gonna come back just now. Yeah. That's why I was very surprised when a couple had a marital problem. And then in the marriage counseling, I discovered that one day when they were together and they were tinging, then the guy's mother, because they were living in a family house, the guy's mother comes and knocks on the door calling the guy for something. The guy presses pause. You can't believe it. Maybe if it was me, I'll act as if I'm not in the house.
Yeah, she gone. Oh, this woman has problems, man. And then you continue. Or put a pillow on her face. But to get up, Florissa, get up. Put back your things on and go and open the door and say, yes, mommy. Hey, your mother has done something to you. I tell you, your mother has done something very bad to you. Now, you don't tell me you love your mother. This love is not real love. Ah, love does not go to this place, I tell you. At this time, you know what I'm doing? You calling my name? I don't want you to call my name at this time. I'm a secret operation. And you, if you are the woman, Sarita, if you are the woman, can you imagine how you feel? Hey, my mother-in-law has called my husband whilst. What kind of mother is that? So, when you finish with it, I'll throw your bags. I will say, go and marry your mother. Yeah, go and marry your mother. Looks like you love your mother more than anyone. So go and marry your mother. The guy was too flexible. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, inflexibility. Samuel and Saul had a similar case, a case that smelled disloyal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, you see, Saul, he has gone, God gave him an instruction to go and fight the enemy and kill anything and everything. He goes and he does not kill any and everything. Then when he comes back, the prophet Samuel comes to him and he says, Samuel said to Saul, came to Saul, and when Samuel came to Saul, Saul rather now, look at what he's saying. He's saying that, blessed be thou of the Lord. These are the church members. So, oh, pastor, you're a blessing to me. But they don't do the things you tell them to do. They say, you're my father. If I was your father, you do anything I tell you to do. Yeah, daddy, 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 daddy. But you don't do the things that you don't even respond to a message that I post. How can I be your father? He said, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 14. And Samuel said, you have performed the commandment of the Lord. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So you went and you killed everything. And now I'm coming, you are telling me, blessed be thou of the Lord. So I should be excited about that. You see, when church members tell you things, you should be very careful. No, yeah. Some people just say it. It's not from the heart. Because they call you, oh yeah, yes, sir, Reverend, yes, Pastor. But it's just words. Lip service. Talk is cheap. What then means, you see, because the pastor has come, the God servant who he used to give you an instruction, you went and you say you did what he has asked you to do. The pastor has come trying to, you know, you've come back from the war. Say, hey, you are praising. Blessed is thou of the Lord. Oh, you are anointed. Oh, I'm blessed to be in Lighthouse. And then 2 years later, you say, I've stopped. I don't want to come to Lighthouse anymore. What kind of person are you? You are like Saul. You are stubborn and defiant, inflexible. He says, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in my ears? I hear sheep bleating. I hear oxen lowing. I can hear it. What is this? When I came to give you the instruction, there was no sheep bleating. There was no oxen lowing. There was nothing like that. So what do I hear now? Verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, where is that instruction from? Kill everything living. Kill it. There you go. say, oh, as for this sheep, it's too big, oh. This cow is too fat and juicy. Look at the milk. As the cow is walking, look at the bobby and look at how the milk is. Ah, no, no, this is, we have to milk it. We ran out of milk in Israel. Come on, this one, God understands. Hey, so, hey, yeah, you know what? These nice ones, you keep them. These ugly ones, this one looks like a sick. Kill all of them. But that thing that Saul did was not because everything wasn't bad or that there were some good ones that we had to spare. It is like when Judas, when Mary came to break her box of alabaster oil ointment, and Judas said, oh, why is this waste? Why didn't we sell this perfume? And then the proceeds out of that, this perfume is very expensive. This is Gucci. This is Armani. It's about $35,000. I mean, this can feed about 35 poor people, homeless people. Why didn't we do that? Now, it smells of a good intention. Are you with me? Yeah. It smells of a good intention that, oh no, I mean, the guy really is thinking about people. Why are we spending $35,000 on the pastor instead of spending $35,000 on 35 people who don't have a place to stay, who don't have food to eat? The pastor has food, the pastor has a vehicle, the pastor, he looks good. Why are we spending $35,000 on the pastor instead of spending on 25 homeless people out there in border? It's not that the person has a good intention, because many unbelievers speak like that. You have not heard unbelievers speak like that before? Unbelievers speak like that. Somebody, one day, somebody went to ask somebody for something. We were doing something and they went to ask them to help. He says that he does not believe, it was the radio. I was on radio and I was looking for businesses to help. You know, they went to see a businessman. He said he does not believe in giving money to pastors. He believes in feeding the poor. Now, he's not a good person. It is when you are not enlightened that you think, oh, I mean, the man is correct. Why should I take 100,000 and give it to the pastor? Even 100,000, you know that we are going to give it to NCN. It's not like it's even coming to me. But the way he's speaking as if there are more people, or there are more important people, more needy people out there who need the money than the pastor who is wearing suit and tie on a Sunday morning, who doesn't have a problem. It is not that, though. It is who is talking and with what intention is it? This is a very stubborn, defiant person. Somebody who doesn't want to do what God wants to happen. Not that the person has a good intent. The person cannot be wiser than God. So when Saul says that the best ones, he spared the best ones. Who told you to spare the best ones? Whose decision was that? Is it the God or you? Then it boils down to the fact that he is the one who, yeah, and he says he wants to sacrifice it to God also. If God wants sacrifice, he will tell you, spare the good ones and sacrifice it to me. So watch when you do your own things, your own initiatives. Oh, I mean, I Reverend, when I went, I felt that, you know what, even though you asked me to do this, but I felt that if I do it this way and I also do it that way, it will even be better. Sometimes people are like that. They have better ideas. You are just inflexible. You just don't want to do what you have to do. You feel what you have been asked to do is too basic. It's too simple. It doesn't make sense. You want to do something more important. You want to add something extra to it to make it look. No, but in the kingdom of God, it's not about that. It's about your abilities, about who you are, how you do things. It is more of that than what you think you are trying to do. That says obedience is better than sacrifice. Because you can be asked to clean this church. And then when you finish cleaning, you start weeding outside. Then when you come, who asked you to weed outside? You asked to clean the church alone. But you see, you think, I finished on time. There are some weeds there. I can weed. So let me weed. Sometimes it's not just the person has a good intention. The person is inflexible. Because if you had called me and said, I finished cleaning the church, maybe there was something I would have told you. I would have probably said, oh, you finished. Okay, this, and that. Yeah. I'm not interested in weeding outside there. Yeah. You get it? You get it, yeah. And I hope that everybody gets it too. that inflexibility, that stubbornness, that defiance is something that smells disloyalty. It's a manifestation of somebody who is unreliable, somebody who is not trustworthy, somebody who, if you say this, they'll do something else.
Yeah.
And that thing must disappear from the church. That thing must disappear from your life. Because the enemy will look at it and will make friends with you one day to want to cause trouble and destroy the church.
Yeah. Verse 16, what does it say? I'm closing.
Then someone said unto Saul, stay, and I'll tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. He goes on to say, and someone said, when thou was little in your sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel. You see, Samuel, instead of just going straight to the point, he's trying to ask him that you even the privilege to be around, to be given instructions. You want to tell you that you were little somewhere, nowhere. So to be here to even receive instruction is a promotion and it's an elevation. And it's not an elevation that you yourself put together. It's God who elevated you. So how come you are now in this position and the person who elevated you or brought you to that position is telling you something and you want to do your own thing? When somebody made you, you didn't make yourself. You understand, Daniel? So you can't do your own thing when somebody has invited you to come and share the stage with him. And when you're on stage, you say, oh, I feel like sitting down. Then who asked you to come on stage? Did the person ask you to sit down? That's what he's trying to tell him. He said, you were nothing. You were nothing. You were nothing. And God brought you from that nothing and made you the head of the tribes of Israel. And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. And what did you do? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and this evil in the sight of the Lord. So sparing the good ones is evil. I mean, Jamie, This guy is very compassionate. When he saw the nice fat sheep, he said, you know what, come on, this thing. I mean, when you slaughter it on the altar, you burn it, it will smell a nice aroma to God. God is saying the fact that he did that is evil. It is in the same class with Satan. So you may think that you are doing something for the church in favor of the pastor. But you do not know that it is coming out of evil intentions of stubbornness and inflexibility. God calls it evil in his sight. In your sight, it looks good. The Bible says, Jesus said, that John said, he said, not that Judas loved the poor, but that he was, because he was a thief. So the comment he made that let's feed 35 people with this 35,000, it's not because he likes people, but because in God's sight, he's an evil person. In God's sight, he's a thief. And this evil in the sight of the Lord. Here's Rebecca, quickly. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, look at what he's saying. You see, people who talk back, we are talking and they respond. Trevisia, when you say one, they say two. You say two, they say three. You say three, you say 200. They've gone ahead of you. Look at what Saul is saying. Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. But the man just ended it. In the verse before, he just said that you have done something evil. He doesn't even understand. He said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Even the king, who asked you to bring the king? And in this, Mr. Willis, even in this, he's saying that I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Shema, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He doesn't even understand what he's saying. You're bringing a king to do what? For the king to see that you are powerful or what? He said, kill everybody. So should he escape and go and form another group somewhere? And when they come against you, then who do you expect to defend you? If you pray to God, hey, Agag is coming against me. But Agag should have been dead 4 years ago.
21. But the people took of the spoil. The people? Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. That guy is bold.
Look at how some, and it's very interesting when sometimes you're talking to people and say, oh, I know.
I feel like slappy people like that when you're talking to them. They say, I know.
If you know, in fact, you're actually trying to tell them that what I'm saying is not important because you know already. It doesn't make sense.
So think about that thing we say a lot. We use that word a lot. I know. Hey, I know. Please, if you come close, I will make you bite your tongue. Don't tell me you know. Especially if you're dealing with me, your pastor is telling you something. You know? So why are you not the pastor? If you know, why are you not in my place to be speaking?
I say, oh yeah, oh Rev, oh wow, I'm very grateful that you've mentioned this to me. Don't say, I know.
Okay. 22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see, Samuel is an argument now. Yeah. Because Samuel said something. Saul replied by saying he doesn't see what he has done. He needs more explanation. And then Samuel comes again and says, you know what? This thing that you have done, do you think God is interested in sacrifices rather than obeying his voice? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And he goes in verse 23 and he says that, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. And idolatry. It's like worshipping Shiva or Madam Lakshmi. I said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king today. Just because God gave him an instruction and he wasn't flexible, he did not want to do exactly what God said he should do. He said, man, okay, let's work here. That place is a little too difficult. Let's leave that part. Let's just do here. You're not flexible. I'm flexible. You have something to add. You have something to subtract. You have something to divide. You have something to multiply. You always have something to add up to what the Lord has asked you to do. The Lord will cause his strength and his anointing to leave you. You know why? Because you know. Because you know. So if you know, then you don't need me. So then the Lord takes himself out of the situation and says, Evo, go ahead. You know. In fact, when I told you something, you went and did the better out of the thing. So what do you need me now? I am going to go and find somebody who will appreciate me, who will do whatever I tell them to do. Who don't know? That's how God always calls people who don't know. Because people who are not noble, people who are not rich, people who are not, I mean, mighty, wise, those are the people he calls. Because when you are wise, when he tells you something, you add your wisdom. Because certain things will sound foolish to you. I should kill. Look at this nice thing. It's like when you are dealing with money. You can easily take money. Let's say you won't even take money. You can easily go and tell somebody, the church, money, war. We count enough money. So me and Azawa, the pastor calling for money all the time. You have not stolen money. But you could just say that. And then before I realize, like a fire. What? I hear the church got money, but the pastor standing in front of the church saying money, money all the time. What is the money we give you? Where is it going to? He said, because you rejected the instruction, I've also rejected you. My time is up. Please stand to your feet. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Flexibility. Yeah. Anywhere you are flexible, you'll be liked, you'll be loved. I tell you, in marriages, husbands, wives, be flexible. Be flexible. Don't say, I can't do that. Me get time for that. Okay, so somebody else who has time for that, we'll get that instruction.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for speaking to us. We didn't know that inflexibility is so evil in thy sight. We have been inflexible at times. We could have done more, but we withheld because of what we thought was the right thing to do. I ask on behalf of the congregation for forgiveness of sins. Forgive all our inflexibilities. Forgive all our stubbornness. Forgive all our defiances. The things we could have done better and have done more that we couldn't, we didn't. Not because it was right not to, but because we thought there were other things. Forgive us. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we know better. We pray for your help to be flexible where your things are concerned. May we never disobey the voice of God so that we will not be also taken away from what God has given to us. I give you praise and I give you glory.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.